long because I believe that the minister last week spoiled you. When I looked at my watch, I said, is he finished? And everybody looked at me, and they were so happy. I said, Lord, have mercy. I said, it is only 25 after? So in the spirit of not of keeping you spoiled for one more Sunday of this year, I won't be before you long. But just in case, you never know. Just in case, it's not me. They told me that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I don't intend on going to hell, so whatever my intentions are, I'm going to follow the Spirit. Amen? Amen. So the scripture today comes from Luke, the second chapter, verses 1 through 7. And it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room. There was no guest room available for them. Our scripture today is probably one of the most popular passages in the Bible, especially at Christmas time. Many people read this over and over and over and over again and have read and heard this scripture. And when, you know, when people start reading things that you're familiar with, you kind of shut it off automatically because you heard it already. Amen? And most of us are familiar with the text that Augustus proclaimed that there was going to be a census taken. But the census was being taken because he wanted to tax people. You know, somewhere along the line, there is always a little bit of money involved. Augusta wanted to tax people, so he wanted to do the census. Now, we know that Mary and Joseph traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Joseph. You see, here's a man who all of a sudden, he's being told that you got to go marry this woman. Amen? And he knew that this really naturally, physically, wasn't his child. But he did what he was told. So I want to talk a little bit to the men today. Because you know when your wife or somebody, you know, your significant other wants you to do something and it puts an extra heavy burden on you and you get a little tired. You get a little resentful because you really don't want to do it. Come on, honey, let's go to the store. Why? Amen? Come on, can we just go look at this furniture? Why? Now, here's Joseph. He's got to travel with his wife, pregnant, with child, and she had to be close to time because it didn't say they went to Bethlehem and they were there for months. They were there for a few days before the birth. So she was as big as she was going to get. Now, Joseph wasn't used to this because Joseph didn't have other children. But here he was, a man that had to exhibit patience because by the Holy Spirit's telling him that he was in charge and responsible for this woman. He's traveling 80 miles with this pregnant woman that is his wife with a child that he never knew her. Come on. The Bible says he didn't know her. But he was obedient to the scripture. He was obedient to the prophecy. He was obedient to the word. Amen. We know where it was where Jesus was born. The Bible says Mary wrapped the baby Jesus in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. But let me tell you something about this inn. We all know that they went to this inn. But the Bible says that this inn was not the Holiday Inn. It wasn't the Best Western. It wasn't even a Motel 8, a Super 8. They said it was a poor inn, that basically it had walls and a straw roof. It was a poor inn. So now, not only did they just go to an inn, but they went to a poor inn. And they could not get into a poor inn. Have you ever gone somewhere and somebody said, you can't come in? And you looked around like, I've been kicked out of better places than this? They had to go to this poor inn, and they still did not have room for him. The Bible says that they laid him in a manger. God incarnate, born in a barn, laid in a feed trough. We know that this happened because the Bible tells us. But I just want to segue for a minute and put your mindset in who you think that you are. Like I said, we've all been places and we said, I've been kicked out of better places. Now here's Jesus, God incarnate. Don't even have room for him at a poor inn. Being born in an animal feed trough. What kind of birth is this for God? I would not let our own child be born under those kind of circumstances. Amen? But here is God coming down as man, allowing himself to be born in an animal trial, feeding trial. I've seen some of those before, and the ones that I've saw, they're made of wood. They don't have little cushions in them. They don't have pillows in them. It's just wood, hard wood made for a long haul, made to last for years. Now, we don't know why they wasn't able to get a room in the inn. And the Bible does not really give us a conversation between Joseph and the innkeeper. Amen? We just know for some reason they could not get in. But what if the innkeeper had known? What if the innkeeper had known that this woman, this Mary, and Joseph, who came to his front door, came to the front desk, that she was pregnant with God in her body? Would he have found room for them? Some people are critical of the innkeeper because he turned away the Holy Family. Others are sympathetic because he was deprived of being able to provide a place for God. What if he had known who that new baby was going to be? What if he had known that that baby was going to be able to save his life? What if he had known that this baby was the one that would be able to give him eternal life? Would he have made room for Jesus? There's a lot of sermons that are always preached. There was no room for them at the inn. Well, here we are over 2,000 years, 2,000 and some odd years after that. And we have an advantage over that innkeeper because we know who that baby was. We know that Jesus was born that night. We know that he came to save us from our sins. We know that he came to give us eternal life. But have you ever considered the possibility that we are more guilty of shutting out Christ than the innkeeper in Bethlehem? I'm going to say that again. Have you ever considered that you and I and people out there are more guilty of shutting out Christ than that innkeeper in Bethlehem? You see, John's gospel declares that Christ came to his own and his own didn't receive him. Amen? With all that we do know right now, do you have room in your inn for Christ? It's easy to sit back and judge the innkeeper. But Christ is going to judge us one day because we know who he is. Do you have room in your inn for Christ? Do you have room for Jesus? Sometimes I feel that many of us, we're too familiar with Jesus, or at least we think we are. You know, familiar. When you get familiar with things, you get complacent. You get content. You don't need to know no more. You start thinking, I don't need to get a little more education in Christ. I got my GED and that's good enough. Mark 6 says rejection by those who were too familiar with him. Even his own family didn't believe him. There was no vacancies at the inn due to possessions. Maybe if Joseph took out a wad of money and gave it to the innkeeper, maybe that wad of money could have convinced him that there's room somewhere. Maybe he would have went and kicked somebody else out. You know, paid them off a little bit and kicked them out and gave Joseph and Mary a room because they paid him. See, the shepherds, the wise men, they showed us what Christmas and Christ really is all about. When we look at the story of the wise men, we realize that they came, they left, they were traveling for 2 years to follow this star, to find out where Christ was. Some of us today, we won't even travel 2 miles, 2 blocks to find Christ. Actually, you can find them wherever you are. But people don't want to come to church no more. People don't want to serve no more. People don't want to sacrifice no more. Here, this baby being born, God incarnate as a man, coming in to make the ultimate sacrifice. If he wasn't going to make a sacrifice, there was no reason for him to be born. There was no reason for him to come. But he was born and he came to make a sacrifice. We make everything a priority over Jesus. We make work a priority over Jesus. We make sports a priority over Jesus. I'm talking to myself, too. I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to myself. We make leisure, hanging out, having fun, a priority over Jesus. With all of those things having a priority over Jesus, do you have any room for him? Many of us have made room. There was a day when we felt the burden of our sin and we came to realize that we were lost and bound for hell. But when we heard that Jesus saves, we trusted him as our Lord and Savior, and he saved us. We know the joy and the peace of having Jesus in our life. We know the joy, we know the meaning of Christmas. We made room for Jesus, and then he moved in. But let me ask you a question. Exactly what room did you give him in your inn? Did you give him that little room? You know, the first house that we brought, it had, they said, 3 bedrooms. Well, we had the bigger bedroom, the master bedroom. That's what they called it. Then we had the second bedroom and put the 2 girls in there. But then that third bedroom was really small. It was so small that when you open up the door, if somebody was sitting on the bed, you hit them. We put our oldest son in that bedroom. He got upset. He was working a little bit. He saved a little bit of money. He went down in the basement and had a room made for him because the room was too small and he wasn't going to stay there. So I want to know this morning, the room that you gave Jesus in your inn, is it too small for Jesus? But you say you gave him room. But we say we serve a big God. Then why you put him in a small room in your inn? Jesus doesn't really want a room in your inn. He wants the whole house. He wants to take over the whole house. Hallelujah. Because when he takes over the whole house, that's when things begin to happen. That's when blessings have room to grow. That's when things start changing in your life. You can't have a big God and put him in a small room. How could you want to have a big God and have him in a small room? When you look at the world today, they're putting Jesus, I want to say, in a small room, but they're not putting him in a small room. They're just kicking him out altogether. You see, when you look at Christmas today, it's not the birth of our Savior no more. It's not that no more. I remember growing up, it was all about the birth of Christ. I remember seeing all kind of images of scenes where the baby being born in a manger, Joseph and Mary, angels looking down, wise men coming, bringing gifts. I don't see that anymore. Everybody wants Jesus to come to their Christmas party for his birthday. But how do you have a party and you, when the party gets started, you kick him out? It ain't no party for Jesus if he's kicked out. When was the last time you saw a commercial on TV about Jesus? There's too many other things to do at Christmas. There's no room for Jesus no more. We talk about, why do we talk about sin and salvation and hell and heaven at Christmas? Nobody want to hear it. Nobody want to hear it. The world wants peace and joy, but they don't want Jesus. The world has no room for Jesus. While we're following the world, doing the things that the world do, we don't have room for Jesus. We're too busy following them instead of them following us. Listen, you can't have too many leaders. So if you're going to lead, you can't lead with everybody. They have to be able to follow you to follow Christ. I don't know. Maybe things are going so well for you that you figure it's all well. I don't need Jesus. Jesus is too much baggage for me to carry. You know, when people say happy holidays, you don't want to say Merry Christmas. You don't have a holiday without Jesus. You don't have a holiday without his birthday. There ain't no holiday. Maybe you're doing okay. You don't need his promises no more. But while you're doing okay, the Bible tells me he is the father of all good things, all good gifts. Maybe you don't have room for Jesus because his way of doing things don't fit in with the way that you want to do them. Maybe you don't have room on your throne to share with Jesus. Only one person can sit on your throne, and it's going to be you. You can't, Jesus ain't got no, you ain't got no room for him there. Maybe you want to tell him, we'll come back later. You can't tell Jesus when to come. You cannot tell Jesus when to come. You can't tell him he comes whether you're asking for something or not. Whether you tell him to come back later or not. Jesus comes when he wants to come. You know, when we're going through something, we say, Jesus, come now. Jesus comes right on time, but when he's ready. And if you tell him you're not going to pay attention to him, you can't tell him when to come back. This is not a two-way conversation that you can tell Jesus when to come. Maybe you're telling Jesus to come back later when you have more room. You don't understand that, I'll explain it to you. You see, years ago, somebody asked me when I was a young man, like, when are you going to get saved? I said, yeah, I'm going to get saved one day. He said, well, when are you going to get saved? I said, maybe when I'm about 30. I was about 14 at the time. I said, when I'm about 30. He said, 30? How could you say that you're going to get saved at 30? I said, by then, you know, maybe I've done things that I want to do. That was my thought. That was my thought process. But little did I know that between the years of 14 to 30, all kind of hell broke through in my life. But the thing about Jesus, he didn't need me to make room for him. He was there anyway. He didn't listen to me that when I told him, this is when I'm going to have room for you. Over time, I realized that he don't need me to do anything. He makes room for himself. Amen? Are you going to tell Jesus that you need more time? And then you're going to get saved like I did? Don't you know that your time is running out? There might not be another Christmas for you. There might not be another day for you. When First Lady went to the doctor, they said, go to the hospital. Do not pass go. And I'm going to tell on her. Because the doctor said, you think that you're going to go home and you're going to come back next week. You're going to spend Thanksgiving and all of that. Then you're going to come back. He said, you're going in the hospital right now. Sign this, call the ambulance, sign this piece of paper. Some of us are to that point that we think that we're going to do something, we're going to serve the Lord later, we're going to wait for this holiday to go by, we're going to wait to 30 years old, we're going to wait to this day, that day, we're going to wait till we finish this or finish that, but God's not waiting for you, time is moving on. The time is now. Every moment you're going, every moment that goes by, you're in history. Every moment that goes by is history. What happened 5 minutes ago is in the past. It's history. How much history? You are the innkeeper of your heart. Is your heart full? Is your inn full? Listen to the last message that a living Christ gave to his churches, and it is found in Revelations, the second and the third chapter. There are seven letters to seven churches, and they are concluded with a pathetic picture of Christ on the outside, standing and knocking on the door and requesting entrance. That's one of the last things he wrote. Why would it be one of the last things that was written by John about Christ? Because here today, thousands of years later, he is still outside waiting to get into your inn. And he is standing there knocking at the door, waiting for you to let him in. Behold, I stand and knock. Have you shut Christ out of your life today? And I want to say that many of us are doing it without even realizing it. And I'm saying that because we have become too marginalized, too commercialized as Christians. I'm going to say that again. Too marginalized, you're so close to the edge. I'm a Christian today. Today I'm not. I'm going to do the right thing today. Tomorrow I'm not. I'm going to do what I was taught to do in Bible class. And then today, I'm not. Always standing on the border of where your relationship should be with Christ. And then too commercial. Too commercial. When I say commercial, I mean that it's too general. God wants to have a specific relationship with you. God wants to have an intimate relationship with you. God wants you to know him the way that he knows you. He wants to get to know you. He wants you to get to know him. Many of us are shutting Christ out of our lives. Everything else is such a priority. But if 2020 has taught you anything, it should have taught you something about the meaning of life. It should have taught you something about the fragility of life. It should have taught you something about what your priorities are or should be in life. I'm preaching this today because it's the last Sunday of 2020. But this ain't the last of what we've been going through. But this is the last Sunday of a year that just flew by, where everybody got up and they was telling their vision that God has given them for 2020. And God pulled back everything. People plant their parties. This is my so-and-so birthday. I'm going to have a party. Pull back on it. Family reunions. Pull back on it. Graduations. Pull back on it. Marriages, pull back on them. People could have got married because marriage is a vow between two people. But you have to have the big wedding. He pulled back on it. Now, if you really want to get married, you would have got married. Because it ain't about the wedding. It's about the vows. Have you shut Christ out of your life? Is there any room in your inn for him? Maybe you shut him out because you feel that you lack faith in his promises. Well, I don't know what promise God gave you in the beginning of 2020. But I could tell you that he promised and it's still going on. You are still here. You're still breathing. You still have an opportunity. That's a promise that he's given you. There's people who don't have that promise to hold on to any longer. But you're still here. Is there any room for Jesus? There was a story of a little boy who was playing in a Christmas play of the innkeeper. And every time they got to the part for him to send Mary and Joseph away, he kept messing it up. He couldn't say his lines. I don't know if you've ever been in a Christmas play, but you know, you learn your lines, you do your part, and you want everybody to do their part. And if you don't do it right, you got to do it all over again. Amen? I used to hate that. Start all over again. This little boy kept messing up his lines. When he got to the part about Mary and Jesus, he couldn't say his lines. Somebody said, well, why can't you say your lines? He says, I just can't send Jesus away. Some of us easily send Jesus away. Are you sending Jesus away? Is there no room for you in his inn? During this season where we celebrate the birth of Christ, each of us should be certain that we have allowed him full occupancy. Not a room, full occupancy in our inn. You should be saying, Jesus, any part of this house, any part of this inn, any place you want to go, it's yours. We need to avoid walking in the footsteps of the innkeeper. We need to make sure that we give Jesus Christ the royal treatment, the royal guest, the royal person himself into our hearts. It's time to let him in. Do not ignore him. Don't shut him out. The greatest gift that God gave you and gave me and gave everybody was that day that he was born in a manger. The greatest gift he gave us was being born into all of the foolishness of the world. The greatest gift that he gave us being able to go through everything that he went through for you and for me. It's a gift that keeps on giving. It's a gift that he don't want to take back. It's a gift that he gave to each and every one, no matter your color, culture, no matter what gender, no matter what, Jesus gave to all, for one and for all, the sacrifice of himself. We don't have a right to tell somebody they can't have Jesus. We don't have a right. He freely gave of himself. We freely give the information. Now, whatever those people want to do with the message of Christ, that's up to them. But we got to give in order to get. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning.